Jason Wilde is brought to you by Boucher Automotive, where we ride with you every mile. 18 dealerships, 15 brands, and thousands of vehicles in stock. Check them out at Boucher.com.
Everybody on the planet Earth should get any information about the Green Bay Packers every day of the year from Jason Wilde. We do our part, 94.5 ESPN. Good afternoon, Jason.
Stephen, I understand you have a question for me.
Yeah, it was a question continuing about Mark Murphy. Other than that, I did want to give you one information piece of information because I heard you talking about Boucher and needing to get a car, and I know all about your habits as a car owner because I just got a car from Boucher, and they said, hey, Homer, Jason, we work with him all the time. He gets a car about every year. I go, really? Huh. He's a little bit different than I am. But they spoke very highly of you as a customer, easy to work with, always know exactly what you want, and they said he might actually be in the process of purchasing another car soon.
Yeah, well, first of all, I do not get a car every year. I am sitting right now waiting to pick the girls up at school in my 2007 Lexus SUV with 192,000 miles. On it.
Yeah, so somebody said I don't listen well, so that's probably another case.
Paula has had a couple of different vehicles in the 10-plus years we've been with Boucher.
They're the best, by the way. I give them an A++ for my experience with Boucher getting a car recently.
And on the flip side, I knew that you were there because they told me you were coming in that day. My buddy Mike Hansen gave me the tip that you were on your way in.
I didn't mention his name because I didn't
remember it.
No, I remembered it. I have it on my cell phone, but I thought, nah, if Jason wants to mention the name. I don't always assume that people want to be part of public knowledge enough for them to know they work with us, or I can tell someone else, hey, you need to talk to my guy Mike, but the whole world doesn't have to know his name on this show. You've done it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Go see Mike Hansen and Scott Foote at Boucher Nissan on Highway 100.
Yeah. Mike's a big shot. He's a part of many of their places, I believe.
Yeah, he's a big deal.
Yeah.
Much like your... Hey, no, I was referring to this idea that I saw you tweeting about it during our show that I am... I don't know if I'm manifesting. I don't remember. I didn't read the tweet from the original person. But something about how I'm trying to get the Packers to not get a first-round pick or trying to get the...
No, it was about Aaron Rodgers of saying that you would like Rodgers to come back because it would make for a great story. And I made
that, that is true.
I know.
That's
so, but people think like that, and I said, well, that's to have a great story because it would be an incredible story, but that's not what he thinks is best for the Packers. So
no, it's 1,000% not what's best
correct.
For the Packers.
Right. So, and I wanted you to clarify that. And
part of the problem with this is because look, I did say that is the storyline that I'm rooting for.
There's correct.
No, I will not in any way deny that. I would also say that it is 100% true that I said to Rodgers in a text exchange that if I was him, I would force them to have a $60 million backup quarterback if they're going to insist on getting a first round pick for me. Now, that is not because that's the best for the Jets, for Rodgers, or for the Packers. A, it's, again, incredibly compelling. B, if Goody, and Adam Schefter reported this again today, he is standing fast that he wants a first-round pick for Aaron Rodgers. And we have now had three different NFL players over the past week tell you, as fans, what a complete cluster you know what it would be for Rodgers to report to training camp because a trade did not get done before the end of July. I have told you what it was like in 2008 as a beat writer. Yes, again, that was, look, I don't know these other folks who want the kind of path of least resistance. There's part of me that would love to have it resolved from the perspective of being able to talk about other things than Rodgers. But I'm sorry, Lance Allen from Channel 4 in Milwaukee breathlessly reporting that Brett Favre's plane had landed at Austin Straubel. As I am in the press box at family night getting ready for the practice, the scrimmage to start, and then Favre coming to the stadium and the Packers not allowing him to enter the locker room while he is still technically under contract to the Packers, and me standing outside the loading dock and him, he didn't come anywhere near running us over, but him leaving in his burgundy Cadillac Escalade for the last time after talking with Rachel Nichols on the loading dock, which I still don't know how Rachel got in there and the rest of us were outside. Like, it was, like, it's one of the things from my career that people say, Jason, what was it like covering the summer of 2008? Like, I would assume that Bud Lee, God rest his soul, would be asked questions about, hey, what was it like covering that first year with Lombardi?
Yeah.
Like, and again, I don't have an agenda here. I'm not, look, it's a great story if the Packers and the Jets play each other in the Super Bowl next year too. And I'm all for covering that too. But this idea, and my one criticism is of these fans, and I've got a colleague at the State Journal who feels this way. I've got certainly lots of people on social media. There's all these people that keep insisting that I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, and that, and I believe you were one of them when we argued earlier in the week, that are of this mind that it's not a big deal if Rodgers reports to training camp or they're stuck with Rodgers and have to keep him on the roster because they didn't make a trade to the Jets. A, yes, the Jets absolutely want him, and they are going to look like complete idiots if this doesn't end up happening. At the same time, the Packers don't want him, and they made it very clear they don't want him, and they're going to look like idiots if they're stuck with him in a $60 million salary when they want Jordan Love to be the starter. This is all predicated on, A, Goody's demand for a first-round pick, which, again, when I do my job, I talk to people that know more than I do. And when I talk to four guys that I know pretty well throughout the league that either have been GMs or are high-ranking with other teams, or are out of the business now, but did the job for a long time, and they all tell me, man, I don't think he can get a first-round pick. I wouldn't give him a first-round pick given these circumstances.
So you are not saying that they shouldn't act it. You are just saying this is what people are saying regarding the request of Goody.
Right, but my opinion is they should take what they can get for him and get rid of him. So they're not getting to July, and we have a rerun of 2008. Because again, just as I did say this to Rodgers, I will say again, I never say what he says back, but I did say that. Remember, in 2008, Mark Murphy, who is the one constant in all this, said that if Brett wanted to come back and be a backup, that's what he would do. It wasn't Ted Thompson who said that. It wasn't Mike McCarthy who said that. You know why? Because it's an asinine concept. We're going to put a Pro Football Hall of Famer as the backup to the guy that we want to be the starter, but we're going to create this situation where, imagine, like, as if the pressure was not immense enough on Rodgers or isn't immense enough on Love, let's have the guy you're replacing now be your backup? I mean, it's untenable, and that's the point that I've been trying to make all along. If this comes to fruition, it's because I can't believe that it would happen again, and it would be amazing and ridiculous and crazy and fun and an incredible storyline all at once. But again, this idea that, you know,
I just don't agree with you. I just don't think it's nearly as bad a situation as you state. The key is totally on the ability of the player. For example, if you ask me the best story, I want Aaron Rodgers to come back because I want him to be the starting quarterback. And I think if he shows up, he'll be the starting quarterback. That, to me, would be an even better story than your story. What do you say about stories now?
So a couple things. One, how many NFL players do I have to have? Brad Nortman did it today. Brian Bulaga said it yesterday. Couch said it last week. I guarantee you Joe Thomas will say it tomorrow. Like, how many guys who actually played in the league have to tell you what a complete quagmire that would be if both Rodgers and Love are back after the team has publicly, the team president has publicly said they want Love. And it's not just his opinion.
Let me just ask. I think that you, great point. How many players told you the same thing when it happened back before? That how horrible this was and how pathetic it was, and this would just ruin the Packers back when you had the situation with Favre showing up. I guarantee you, all the players said, this will be a disaster, this will just run, and of course, that didn't happen. But
you're doing it again, though.
What do you mean?
Doing that whole, they won the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
Well, no,
later,
I mean, even so that season, it was, you know, was the whole season a disaster because of that? If it was, lasted only for a little bit of time because by the next year, they were fine. And that's.
Yeah. But my argument on,
yes,
on Jordan, what I tried to tell you before, is that I am in no way equating sixth grade girls basketball to the National Football League. But there is one small similarity here, and that is the coaches' jobs are always to give the players their best chance to succeed, whatever that looks like. And I don't know enough about Jordan Love's mental makeup and toughness and personality. Because the first 2 years he was in the league, I wasn't in the locker room. So I never got to talk to him like I talked to Rodgers in 05 and 06 and then 07. So I don't know him as well. But if I was the Packers and not knowing just how good he's going to turn out, because, again, I don't believe that this move is predicated solely on, oh, we think Jordan's absolutely ready to be a starter. We think he's so good that that's why we're doing this. It's no other reason other than what he has earned. I don't believe that's the case. I think they're sick of Rodgers' crap. They're sick of, you know, as I've had people say, they want to take their franchise back. They don't want to have their franchise put on blast every Tuesday on McAfee. They just want somebody that's going to actually do things the way they want them done. All those things. But if I'm the Packers and I want my young quarterback to succeed, and I'm not so sure that he's quite good enough to just do it no matter what the circumstances are, I want to create the optimal circumstances for him to succeed. And Aaron Rodgers coming back and looking over his shoulder and showing up at training camp. And remember, in 2008, things like, you know, people booing Aaron Rodgers at family night, and a 12-year-old kid using the F-word on him while he's trying,
yep,
to put in code to get into the parking lot.
And he retired
lot.
The next year. Never played. That Aaron Rodgers, I wish he would have been better than he was.
But just because Aaron Rodgers, I mean, we're all different. We all handle things differently. And just because Aaron Rodgers was able to handle that, maybe Jordan Love can too. I don't know. But I think there have been quarterbacks that we can all agree throughout history that we look at and go, God, that guy was really talented, but he couldn't handle whatever it was, the pressure, struggling early in his career, the team around him, whatever it was.
Bad coaches, coaches changing all the time.
Right.
Yeah,
maybe that guy could have succeeded in a different environment. And my point is that if you're the Packers, you owe it to Jordan Love to give him the best chance to succeed. And giving him the best chance to succeed is saying, all right, forget it. We're not going to get a one. That's fine. I'm not going to die on this hill. It's not going to be a Pyrrhic victory where I don't make the trade until July because I refuse to do it now. I'll take your second round pick this year. I'll take another pick this year. I'll take Corey Davis, the wide receiver that you guys don't want anymore anyway because he's kind of like Alan Lazard. And I'll take a conditional pick in 2025, predicated on how much Rodgers plays for you in 2024, and we'll be done with it. To me, That's the least compelling storyline for me as a reporter to enjoy covering this summer, but it's the best thing for the team.
Now, I want to make sure, didn't the punter say, and I give him the same credit as I give McAfee, because the fact that anybody cares what a punter says is an incredible credit to them, because you've covered training camps and you've covered locker rooms, and no one ever cared what a punter said about anything unless they had one blocked. I believe he said the key is that the start of training camp, that the key for
Correct.
The Jets, so that the training camp starts when?
Late July.
So that would mean that he believes that as long as Jordan Love knows and they can have a normal training camp, then it'd be fine.
Yeah, the idea is to have Rodgers gone by the start of training camp. At least.
Right, so that would also mean the importance of, for Jordan Love, would be the same. In that, you just want to make sure you have him there at he's the guy at the start of training camp. Did I get that wrong?
Sure, and I would also say this, because I know that I've tried to explain this, but I'll explain it again because it's not always the same audience on each show. I know it sounds like I'm talking on both sides of my mouth when I criticize Rodgers for not attending the Packers offseason program and then try to suggest that it's not the end of the world if they don't get the deal done with the Jets in time for him to take part in OTAs and minicamp. Because there's so many parallels between getting to know the new team where you're the new guy and getting to know the young receivers that you're stuck with after they traded away the best receiver in football. I get that. But if you're the Jets, what you have to figure out is just how much value do you put upon him being in your off-season program as compared to the value of keeping the 13th overall pick. And what I would argue is that while it would be great to have him at the OTAs, at minicamp, no doubt about that, it is not valuable enough that I would capitulate to the Packers and give them the 13th overall pick, which is an incredibly valuable pick. So, yes, I want him in my building. Yes, I want him taking part in the offseason. Yes, I want him getting to know the offense with Nathaniel Hackett running it. Yes, I want him getting to know his new teammates. I want all that. But I don't want it enough to trade away the 13th overall pick. Now, if they decide differently, or Woody Johnson tells Joe Douglas, get him in here, give up the 13th pick. I own this team. You're doing what I say. Fine. But I wouldn't do that. And if I was Aaron Rodgers, and I've said this before, I would tell Woody Johnson, look, I can promise you this. I am so pissed that the Packers decided they didn't want me before I could decide I didn't want them, that I am extremely motivated. I will do everything it takes to make up for the time that we missed together in the offseason. Do not give up the 13th overall pick just to get me here for OTA. It's not worth it. I want a really good left tackle or whatever it might be with that 13th pick to help us go win the Super Bowl. I will make it up to you in a bunch of different ways once training camp starts and I'm here if we can't get this deal done before the end of July.
And then for the Packers, as long as they have Jordan Love and know at the start of training camp, they're fine. As the punter said, just like the Jets need Rodgers at the start of training camp, meaning the Packers got a ton of time left before the start of training camp to get this worked out without any harm of any note to Jordan Love.
Yes, but if Aaron Rodgers, yes, I totally agree with that statement. But if Aaron Rodgers shows up at training camp and tries to get in the locker room, that is where it becomes a problem.
Okay,
and
all right,
and they can avoid that by getting rid of him sooner. And last thing.
But it's March. It's March, and we're talking about the end of July.
Right? Okay. And look, the bottom line is there's everyone's to blame here. It's not just Mark Murphy. It's not just Goody. It's not just Aaron Rodgers. There is so much blame to go around that it got to this point. And it's what's incredible to me, and why I bring up why I'd like to cover a replay of 2008, is that how can all these people who, other than Matt LaFleur, were here for 2008 in some capacity. Certainly Goody wasn't the GM. But how can you know all this history?
I got an answer.
And start start down the same path once again. How do you do that?
I just told you. They think that it's been vastly overstated as to how bad that was. Even if the players say that. They lived it. They observed what happened and everything, and that they don't want to say everybody blew that out of proportion, and we know that it's just not near as big a deal. We're not going to say that, but that's my answer. Their actions tell you what they believe, unless you believe they're the biggest idiots on the planet Earth, which it's really hard to think they're that dumb. They've lived it, and they're acting this way, which must tell you, Jason, about how they view how importantly bad that was. Right?
Either that or Goody is just so adamant about, I cannot trade one of the greatest quarterbacks in history who won back-to-back MVPs the last couple of years before last year went poorly. I can't, in the same environment where teams got huge hauls for Matthew Stafford and Russell Wilson, I can't look myself in the mirror and not get a first-round pick for Aaron Rodgers. If that's why, and it's pride or whatever it is, and they stick to it for that reason, not because, oh, we don't think it's going to hurt Jordan. That's a recipe for real trouble.
Okay.
That's all I'll say.
And that we won't have that until the late July.
Yeah. Well, again, we're talking a lot about it now, but
yeah, I know.
I think Brad Nortman is right. It's really not as big of a problem until we get to, like, I would say the week before.
Okay.
Training camp, because you'd like to get it taken care of before they are all reporting.
And I will make any wager with any human being that wishes to that it will get resolved by then.
I would certainly think so. But again, I've seen ego in this league on whether it's players, coaches, general managers, whoever, have a huge impact on decisions and often lead to mistaken decisions that aren't in the best interest of the team. So I'm not ruling anything out. I hope I clarified my position.
I think you did. This is awesome. And go to Wisconsin On Demand so you can listen to it again, and then it'll be clarified even more. Thanks. This was awesome. Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time. We are historically late. Correct, Pebble?
Very late, yes.
And I just want to let everybody know, I don't care, because it was that good. Next.